Welcome to the Daily Path Podcast, where it's all about building an authentic life and business. I'm your host, Joe Winters Jr., and now for today's message. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Daily Path Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Winters Jr., and on today's podcast episode, I am joined by Kayla Kraft, who is the founder of The Crafted Entrepreneur, where she helps her clients create more assets and less liabilities. Kayla is a real estate investor, host of the Crafted Entrepreneur podcast, and author of the book, What Do You Really Want? She has been seen on Forbes, Business Insider, CBS, Fox, and more. Kayla, welcome to the podcast.
Yay, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Excited to have you as well. So today I would like to talk to you about how you support your clients, your process for growing your business, and how you got to where you are today. So if you don't mind, can you please start by telling us what inspired you to start The Crafted Entrepreneur?
Ooh, wow. That is a loaded question because there's so much that inspired me. But I think it's really important that people first hear my story of, you know, why I even became an entrepreneur in the first place. I was raised by a single mom with my dad in jail most of my life. And, you know, I just didn't have a lot of stability growing up because, you know, you have two people who are supposed to be, you know, those people that you can count on for everything that are never going to abandon you. And I had one of those two people, which I know a lot of people listening in maybe have this in common. Because the more I tell my story, the more I hear from other people, oh my gosh, you know, we have similarities in our story. You have one of those two people completely gone. You know, the one person you're supposed to count on is not there. And so I really learned at a young age, like, okay, Kayla, you got to count on yourself. You can't depend on anybody. Like you've got to figure it out, you know? And so when I was 13 years old, I actually found out that there was a nursing shortage. And I was like, I want to be a nurse because that means that a nurse is always going to have a job since there's a nursing shortage. So that's how I chose my career at 13 years old, which I don't recommend choosing your career based on the fact, you know, there's a shortage or not. That's really not a fulfilling way to go about your life. But here I was 23 years old, an ER charge nurse. I had already accomplished a lot in my nursing career that most people never accomplish. I was also instructing at a local college. So I was doing things that most people never even got to do in their nursing career, right? And I looked around at myself and I was like, am I happy? And are the people around me happy? So I'd look at these nurses that were, you know, 20 years older than me, and they were miserable. Most of them were. And I knew enough to know that, hey, if I keep following in the same footsteps as these people, I'm going to have their life 20 years from now. So I knew I needed to make a change. And thankfully, somebody was in my life that was involved in a network marketing company. And she talked to me about it. I had already understood the network marketing concept. And I was like, okay, done. I'm going to do it. And I was able to, you know, build that up online. So while I was still working as a nurse, and this was a long time, I feel like it was so long ago because it was right in the beginning stages of social media. Nobody knew what an influencer was. And I think it's important to point that out because I think the opportunity is different. Like it's different right now compared to what it was back then. Like I would just go online and really share how I was feeling. Like, oh my gosh, I just drank the shake. I feel like I'm going to throw up, but I'm going to keep drinking it anyway. I was very authentic. I know you're big on that, Joe. So, you know, I was like myself, and people fell in love with that because then the next day I'd be like, okay, you guys, I lost 3 pounds. Like I'm obsessed with this stuff now. I'm choking down this shake, you know, and people thought it was funny, but they kept buying stuff from me. Right. And I just built up this movement of people who were like, okay, you know, I want to be healthy and Kayla's living her best life. I want to live my best life. And so I was just able to influence people without realizing that that's what I was becoming, was an influencer and an entrepreneur. And by the time I was 26, I had made $1 million, became the first millionaire in my family. And that's another like fork in the road moment for me because I looked around. Same as I was when I was 23. Remember, I looked around, am I happy? Are people around me happy? Right. And I was like, gosh, I'm not really happy. Like I made $1 million and I should be happy. And I wasn't. And I looked around at other people around me and I go, gosh, like if I'm still slinging protein shakes 20 years from now, I'll be pissed. Like, I don't want to be doing the same thing. I knew that enough about my personality, right? And I think it's really important for anybody listening in right now, be willing to ask yourself those types of questions, mm-hmm. like, and be honest with yourself. Right. You know, it's okay to acknowledge the fact that you're not happy. It's okay to acknowledge that what you've been doing for the last 10 years for a career isn't what you want to keep doing for the next 10 years. Like the moment you become aware, then you give yourself power because you go, okay, I'm going to make a new choice then in this moment. I'm going to choose something different. Mm-hmm. And at 26 is when I decided I want to coach people. I don't want to just be in a box of network marketing. I know the goodness I have inside of me, the strategy, the charisma, the way that I'm able to teach and articulate concepts is going to be used for every industry. I really believe there was a calling on my life. You know, and so I said, I'm going to start teaching other people, teaching other business owners how to be successful specifically on social media, because that's what I knew from experience. Yeah. So my coaching business grew. I didn't even call it a coaching business at the time. You know, I was just like mentoring, leading people. And I remember the first time I asked somebody to pay me for it, because I did it for free all the time.
Right.
It was a Pilates studio. Okay. And she goes, I want you to do my social media. And I said, okay, I'll take over your social media for you. And I'm going to do it for $1,000 a month. And I was so nervous asking for $1,000 a month. Mind you, I was going to post every day for 30 days. Like I was even taking the content. I went into the studio and did this. By the way, I'm making $1 million a year at the same time. Okay. I'm asking this lady to pay me $1,000. So I want to point that out to everybody, because it's like, I still had this weird money story about asking to be paid.
Right.
For what I was good at. Right. I really didn't believe I was like, oh, are people going to pay that? Will people be mad at me if I charge for what I have inside of me? Right. I had all these stories. And the lady on the other line was like, oh, easy peasy. I'll, you know, come pick up a check. Mm. That was back when checks too. Right. And I was like, oh! I remember calling my husband. I'm like, Callie's going to pay me $1,000 to manage her social media. And he was like, that's amazing, babe. But like, do you have the time? I'm like, I'm going to make the time. This is the funniest thing. I hired two people to help me. So I hired two people to help me manage their social media when I got paid $1,000. So I completely lost money on this whole deal for the 30 days, but I gained so much in this because I realized I have massive value. She wanted to sign me on for a second month. She decided not to do it, but I decided not to do it, but I realized, okay, I can employ people to help me live out my dream. I can teach people this concept and I can really stay in my zone of genius, which is networking, making relationships, creating offers for people. And I'm going to delegate these other tasks and I'm going to build a company around it. And that's really how Mommy Millionaire began. And now it is Crafted Entrepreneur. I just recently rebranded about 9 months ago, but I think it's important that people hear the evolution. Like I tried to like pack it in into like a 3-minute story for you guys, because there's so much, and people think they have to do the same thing for the next 40 years. And you don't have to. Like you can have a permission slip right now by listening into this podcast.
Absolutely.
To go, okay, if I have greatness inside of me and I feel like I have more to give and I want a more fulfilling career, give yourself permission to go and charge. Like ask for it. See what happens.
Absolutely. You have to be willing to ask. You know, for someone who was making $1 million at the time and you were, you know, apprehensive about asking for $1,000 a month, which was clearly money you didn't need at that time, but you were apprehensive about asking for that amount of money. What do you think contributed to the stories you were telling yourself that made you fearful to ask for that money, although you were making the money you were making per year?
Right. So I was making that money through the selling of health and wellness supplements, right? Okay. So people were getting a physical product that they could drink, take, consume, and I got paid a commission on it. Right. So I had no problem because I'm like, they have a physical product in their hands. That's a tangible, like adding value to their lives. Right. Now we know as coaches, like we can't put ourselves in a bottle and, you know, they can't like physically see necessarily the value they're going to get when they buy it. And so you're like, how do I price it? you know, what are the competitors charging? Some people do this for free. Like, like, you know, it's weird. Like, it is still weird to so many people to charge for the greatness inside of their brain.
Absolutely.
And so that was the story I had to do there. And what I realized was, hey, my time is valuable. Time is the number one thing that you cannot make more of. Even if you have all the money in the world, you can't buy more time.
Absolutely.
And so I realized, like, if I'm going to give my time, if I'm going to give my life force to somebody, it's got to be adding to my goals and helping me achieve my family's legacy. Mm. And so that's really, I had to, and in order to do that, I had to create new beliefs, right? Mm. Where it's like, okay, not only am I just charging for my time, right? Mm. Because it, what takes me 5 minutes to explain a business model to somebody, give them a tip that could absolutely change their business, it would probably take somebody, you know, 5 years to come up with that because I have so much experience. And so I condense time for people. So I can't just charge by the hour. I'm not like, oh, I'm $2,500 an hour. Right. No, because like, I'm going to make you $1 million business. Right. And so now it's like multi-millions I help people make. And so I charge accordingly. Now I even take a rev share in my clients' companies because I know the value I bring and I know how much money it's going to make. And so when you know that, you when you really understand what you bring to the table, you will not settle for scraps anymore. You're going to be like, I deserve the best because I give the best.
Right. Absolutely. You, it sounds as if you were pretty much always good at being able to identify something that you wanted, or at least wanted at the time, and then making the decision to go after it. You mentioned at 13, you decided what you wanted to do for a career. And I mean, you know, we don't hear many people saying that they were able to make that type of decision at 13. What would you say, you know, contributed to that character trait for you? Was it, you know, the relationship with your mom? Was it, you know, I don't know, the absence of your father? I know you've you have a husband that you spoke about. Like, where would you say it came from, like your support group or just something that was innately inside of you?
Well, I just think at a very young age, I had to be an adult pretty much at a very young age. So the way that I thought was very different than my peers because, you know, there was chaos everywhere and I had to take care of myself. I had to learn to be self-reliant at 6 years old. Yeah. And that is no joke. I mean, making myself dinner, like making sure I got to school on time. Like there were lots of things that, you know, I mean, making sure I even did my homework. I didn't have a parent. I don't know about like most people had parents that are like, did you do your homework? Right. Yeah, I didn't have that. So I had to learn at a very young age, if I wanted something done, if I wanted to get good grades in school, it was up to me. I didn't have a parent like breathing down my neck saying, did you do this? And so it was just one of those things. I decided, hey, I want to get good grades. I don't want to end up in jail like my dad. I don't want to be like my mom. So nothing wrong against them. They're good people at their core. They just didn't have great coping mechanisms, right? So I just decided, oh, And that's actually interesting because my book, right? What Do You Really Want? The whole concept is what do you really want? But the first step of my Take 7 coaching method is actually starting out with what's not working for you. Mm. So it's important because I knew what wasn't working for me as a kid. Mm. I don't like being poor. I don't like sleeping on the ground. I don't like having the instability, right? Mm. So, okay, how do I get stability? Right. How do I not sleep on a floor? Okay, I got to have money, you know? So these were my coping mechanisms as a kid. Right. And that's how I was able to be so decisive. Mm. And when kids, you know, in high school were running amok and doing crazy things, I always had my head on straight because I was like, if I do, like, I was very black and white. If I do those things, like, there was no gray. I'm like, if I do those things, I'm going to end up in jail like my dad. And I know that sounds crazy because most of the people who did those things, they're doing fine today, you know, they're fine. It ended up working out. But for me, that was just like, absolutely not. Mm. I was the kid who actually was the president of a club called Friday Night Life. Okay. Mm. I don't know if it's still around, but we would do the, like I was so anti-drinking and drugs that they would like do Hey Misters. We would get people arrested at gas stations that would buy alcohol for underage kids. Mm. And I was the president of the club. Like we would literally be in a stakeout van. That's how, I mean, so black and white, like I'm going this way. I'm going to make sure I stay clean and sober and not hang out with anybody that's like getting into trouble, you know? So that's, I think, to answer your question, right? The survivor in me came out and it worked until it didn't work, Joe, because right? I was a survivor, decisive, get what I want. 26 years old. You have everything you want. Dream house, three kids, the husband, the cars, the real estate portfolio. I mean, I had it all. And I looked around and go, I'm not happy. Oh, gosh. Well, I had to do some healing work and realize like, Kayla, you don't have to be in survival. You don't have to be such a black and white thinker anymore, right? Yeah. It's either this way or that way. Like there is a gray area in some things, you know?
Absolutely.
Right. And so I had to like really heal the inner child within. And that's actually what my entire book is on, because that's actually the journey I went on to find true abundance, true meaning of my life. It's not just meaning. The meaning isn't just to, you know, make a lot of money and have a legacy. Yeah. Like it's also to be connected. I mean, it's crazy to think that I wasn't truly connected with anybody before I was like 27 years old, because most of my connections were trauma bonds with family members, with friends, with, there were so many, like, you know, I had ride or dies because they had been through traumatic events with me in my childhood. And I held on to those people, even though they were kind of like toxic for me. So I had to rebuild like, oh, this is what a friendship is. This is what you're supposed to treat people like, you know? So I think it's important to share that part of the story because it's never too late. Like people like look at me now and they think I have everything. And it's like, I'm still on a healing journey.
Yeah.
Don't have it all figured out. But one thing I'm committed to is like working with my inner child, trying to live my best life every day, which I know you teach, Joe, and just like being truly connected with people. Like I don't have any time for small talk. Like we got on this call before and we're not doing small talk. We're talking like business goals, how to make money. Like we're trying to add value to each other's lives because we truly like value each other and want to see each other grow. And that's what makes the world, like that's what makes the world such a beautiful place.
I agree. And thank you for sharing that. That's a lot of really good stuff. One thing you said there was your first step, or the first step in your book and your method, is to know what's not working for you. I feel as if there is a lot of adults that they either know what's not working for them, but then convince themselves that it's okay because it's normal amongst, I don't know, the average person or whatever. And then there's like, you know, some adults that they know something's not working, but it's not that they normalize that it's not working, but they try to say, well, no, it's the reason why it's not working is because insert some sort of like external factor. And so they allow things that are not working for them to continue not working for them because it's not a them issue. It's a everyone outside of them or everything outside of them issue. So the question I want to ask you here is like, what would you say to someone who they have things that are not working for them? They may know that things are not working for them, but they're not taking action to do something about it.
Well, so in my book, I talk about the concept of when you decide to state what's not working for you in your life, this is not the opportunity to go into a crapshoot moment where you just start to complain. This is your opportunity to state a complaint. Okay. And I go through, it's a whole chapter because it's such a big deal because, you know, you've got to decide when I say I'm done living paycheck to paycheck, you're done. And in that moment, you're choosing to do something different about it. You're willing to take the actions necessary to start getting different results in your life. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just like, if we go to a restaurant and how do you like your steak, Joe?
Medium well.
Okay. So if I come out and I serve you a medium rare, I mean, this thing is purple inside. What are you going to do?
I'm returning it.
Yeah. You're going to be like, cook this up a little bit more. I'm not touching it. Okay.
Absolutely.
And that's how we need to look at what we get in our lives. You know, we get served up something. Sometimes we are not in control of the circumstances that we get served, right? Like if we get served with divorce papers, if we get fired from our job, like, okay, this has happened. Now, what am I going to do next? I'm going to go, this isn't working for me. I want true happiness, joy, love, connection, abundance in my life. Right. So knowing I want that, what am I going to do next? That's actually step 7 in the book, because it's like, what's the next best step? If we knew 1,000 steps that we were going to have to take to become successful, to be like you, Joe, to be on the stages, being a motivational speaker, you know, being an amazing business coach. If we knew all the steps we were going to have to take right now, we wouldn't take them. It'd be overwhelming. It's going to be too hard. Right. Like, no, I'll just stay here. I'll just stay here with my medium rare steak and I'll just eat it. Okay. Right. Because it's too much pain. And so people have to understand, you're not going to know all the steps right now. You're not. And that's actually God's protection over your calling on your life. So trust it and surrender it and just keep taking one foot in front of the next, taking one step and one step, and more will be revealed to you as time goes on.
I know it might sound like such a cliche, but trusting the process is definitely key. And that's what it sounds like you're alluding to here. When you started The Crafted Entrepreneur, what would you say was the most important thing that you wanted to stay true to as you grew your business?
Well, so the reason I rebranded from Mommy Millionaire to Crafted Entrepreneur, this is an interesting story. I really didn't want to be stuck in a box of just talking to women, right? So if you're probably not listening into the Mommy Millionaire show if you're a guy. So I wanted to help all like men, and I had coached men at that point too. And so it's like, I know that if I can help men become stronger in their faith, in their finances, like the families are going to be stronger. And remember, because of my childhood, like I wanted the exact opposite. I want a stable family. I want to create a legacy. Like I wanted all that. And so that's why it was like really important for me to reach both men and women who are trying to be entrepreneurs, are entrepreneurs, and teach them how to have a firm foundation in creativity. I believe every entrepreneur needs to have creativity.
Yeah, I agree.
I believe that real estate is the best way to get an asset quickly and have it be cash flowing for you. Okay. So it starts to add to your lifestyle and your security. And then like abundance, like I just believe there's abundance. And when people hear the word abundance, they think money automatically.
But
abundance is like in every area of your life.
Yeah.
It's truly like if you feel free and joy, you know, from working out, from having health, from having vitality, abundance in your relationship with your friends, you know, like there's so much abundance, like just looking in nature, you know, you walk outside and you see God's beauty everywhere. Like that's abundance that you're experiencing. Okay. So I think that that's like really important to restructure that. Okay. F is finances, just really understanding how money works for you. I have a saying, be the bank, be the bank. So I'm always looking for ways to deploy capital because I don't want capital in the bank because it's losing to inflation. And people need to understand the bank, like they're making money on your money. So you need to be the one learning how to make money on your money. And so I also have a syndication for that, right?
Yeah.
And then T is for team. So teaching people like, hey, if you want to have a multi-million dollar company, you got to build a team around you. I built a team of 90,000 people. I help executives all over the world create teams that help them scale to have more success. And so just learning that mindset, right? So that stands craft. Okay. Crafted Entrepreneur. So that's really what our basis is. And I get so, obviously you see, I get so excited talking about it because we got to teach these things. We got to teach concepts like this. This was not taught to us in school.
Definitely wasn't.
People sometimes in the business world, like if you're not in those abundant circles, they're not talking about this kind of stuff. They're keeping the secrets to themselves about what works because they look at everybody as competition. When I believe that the high tide raises all ships you know? So it's like, hey, we can all be successful together. So starting the podcast was just like, let's get it out there. Let's all be successful. Cause yeah. I know like I'm happiest when I see other people around me winning. I don't want to be winning on the mountaintop alone. Like I want all my friends. I want all my family. I want everybody that's listening to this podcast right now to be like on top with us. And we all can.
Yeah, no doubt. When someone works with you, they receive guidance in taking control of their earning power and building lucrative multi-dimensional deals. Can you kind of walk us through what a working relationship with you looks like from the moment someone becomes a client to getting whatever results they're seeking?
Yeah. So I am obsessed with going deep with people. So like my one-to-one clients, it's one of my like favorite things to do. And I know a lot of coaches, they want to get out of that as quickly as possible. How do I scale? How do I go into the group programs? Right. Which I think there's a place for that. But for me, it's like, I don't see myself ever not coaching one-to-one. So I just want to say that right now, because people go, Kayla, with how successful you are, why are you still taking one-to-one clients? I'm like, that is my, it's like, it gives me life, you know? Yeah. But what happens is I call it a container, because some coaches, they'll be like, you get 24 sessions with me. I'm like, no, like we're doing life together for the next year. I'm going to go deep in your health, your wealth, your career, your spirituality, and your relationships. Like just yesterday, I was doing a VIP day for a client. So they flew in and she brought her husband. And I'm like, how's your marriage? What's your parenting style like? Like, I'm like, let's talk about it. Because if your family life is chaotic, out of control, then it's just going to, it's only a matter of time until that seeps into your business. It's going to happen. So we got to get that firm foundation, like rock solid. Then we add on to that foundation, you know? And then, so when things hit, because we know as entrepreneurs, stuff's going to happen, you know, like you're going to get hit, you're going to get rocked. But that's okay, because when you got that firm foundation, like you're not swaying side to side. You're going to stand firm in what you believe in, and you're going to keep going after your dreams, and nothing's going to stop you.
That makes sense. So do you start with personal life first and then dive into business, or more so like business first and then dive into personal life?
I kind of do it all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, like I try to get it all in, but I tell my clients, like, the first 3 months, you're probably not going to like me. Because people do hire me because they want to make more money. They're like, Kayla, I'm already making $1 million a year. I want to get to $10 million a year. Yeah. And they want to go straight to the strategy. And I'm like, well, we're going to go here first. We're going to talk about all the things you don't want to talk about, because remember the firm foundation. Mm-hmm. And so I actually tell people that when we're talking about potentially working together, I'm like, you have to be willing to do that type of work, or I don't want to work with you.
So for new coaches that are listening right now, because it sounds like you definitely have an abundance mindset, you are extremely successful, you're decisive, you're a go-getter. And you know, I know I have some listeners that may be dealing with certain obstacles that prevent them from feeling as if they can actually get on a call before acquiring the client and telling the client how it is and what it's going to be like moving forward. Like, what would you recommend to new coaches who, you know, in all honesty, but they're kind of, I don't want to say being taken advantage of, but they're not able to do their best work because of what they failed to communicate before entering into the coach client relationship. Like, what would be your advice to them? Cause it sounds as if like you do a really great job of telling people how it is before they ever enter into that relationship with you, which in my experience, makes the working relationship that much better when you have that understanding beforehand. So what would be your advice to someone who, you know, they struggles with that?
Right. Like setting that boundary, setting that expectation in the beginning, yes. You know, it's like in any relationship. Okay. So this is not just in a coaching relationship, but in a friendship, in a, you know, romantic relationship, like have the awkward conversations in the beginning. Have the awkward conversations. Tell people how you expect to be treated. Do not expect people to be mind readers. Mm. People set themselves up for disappointment constantly because they are not upfront about what they expect from people. And then they expect people to respond to situations, to conversations, like they would respond. And that's not fair to the other person. So you've got to be upfront with people and just be like, hey, like my friends know this. Okay. You're not allowed to text me back K, like K, the letter K. Okay. Because I think you're pissed at me and I'm going to go down a whole rampage with all my daddy issues and try to figure out why you're mad at me. I don't know what it is. I just do not text me, Kay. Please, pretty please. Okay. But I say that ahead of time because it's just a thing with me. And if you're my friend, I'm going to tell you that. Now, you know, everybody listening to this podcast is never going to text me, Kay. Okay. So now I'm going to say Kay the whole time. But like, we have to have those awkward conversations. I've started businesses with people. It's like, okay, well, how are we going to break up? Like if the business partnership isn't working out, what is the plan for us to break up? Well, we're not going into business because we want to break up. Duh. Nobody starts business in that way. But in the plan that like, it might happen. Life happens. So what are we going to write out? How are we going to break up? Mm. I just did a business partnership with somebody and we have it in writing. This is what we're going to do. It was awkward. It's kind of like, oh, we don't want to think about it, but I'm so glad it's there. Why should people get prenups? Mm. I mean, I'm a huge believer in getting prenups. If you don't have a post prenup, get a post prenup. Right. You know, people are going to have opinions about that, but I really truly believe it sets you up for success and you don't have that, you know, scared feeling all the time in case something happens, you know?
So I want to launch the question at you and get your perspective. Cause I feel like someone, you know, I hear someone launching a question at me as they're listening to this episode. When you're getting a prenup, you're planning for the relationship to fail. So like, why should I really get a prenup if this is not going to fail? If we are expecting to live a happily ever after life, whether that's in marriage or business or whatever the arrangement is.
Well, and that's the thing, is like everybody expects things to be great. And I just know in my experience, things always happen. There are going to be things that happen and nobody's perfect and life isn't perfect. Right. And so when you have that awkward conversation, let's like pray to God that it's not ever going to be used, but like, I'm going to feel a lot better about going into a situation knowing, and remember, this is just my opinion, right? It's just my life. Yeah. you know, it's just like my life experience. I'm just like, this makes me feel better because I'm not working so hard to potentially have something taken away from me. And I think people will just like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know why I use that example, honestly, because now I'm like, oh crap, I got to actually like back that up to the world right now. But I mean, the thing is that when you know how you want to break up, then you're not so scared of it. Like it doesn't hold power over you. And I'm not saying that. I mean, I've been happily married. I've been married for 16 years, but I've seen so much because of all my coaching go wrong because people don't want to talk about things. And I'm like, just talk about it. Like, it's not that scary as you think it is. And then people like live in fear and they make decisions out of fear. It's like, no, it's like, well, here's what happens if that were to happen, because I just know life can happen. Yeah. That's a really bad example, Joe, but
to be honest, I mean, I'm hearing what you're saying. And so I want to respond with this and you tell me if I'm kind of like, you know, in alignment with what you're saying right now, but like ultimately when you can talk about those things up front, you're setting like the stage for, this is kind of like the standard for how I want to be treated. I want to know the standard for how you want to be treated. And in the event that for some strange reason, life happens or something happens in which we're not upholding these standards, this is what's going to happen next.
That was so articulate. Yes, Joe, this is why you're the motivational speaker. Yes, that's exactly it.
So my next question to you is, what is a common misconception you see amongst entrepreneurs when it comes to being successful and living an abundant life?
Oh, common misconception is that the people who are successful, that it comes easy to them, that they get up every morning and they want to do what it takes to be successful. You know, I think that that's an absolute lie. Like most people I know are, and especially really successful people, they come up against resistance on a regular basis because they're constantly upping their growth game. Yeah. And so when you're on a growth game, you're going to meet resistance. Yeah, it's absolutely. Your mind is not your friend. Your mind wants to keep you lazy. It wants to stay in yesterday because it understands yesterday. Yeah. And what God wants you to do is move into a new day, into a new season. You know, it says in the Bible, you can't pour new wine into old wineskins. God is always wanting to do something new. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable every single day as an entrepreneur to go, I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know how this person is going to respond to this conversation. I don't know how this, I'm going to set myself up for success in the marketplace, but I don't know. I cannot control the market, right? We don't always know how people are going to respond to the products that we're launching and to our opinions and our advice that we're putting out into the world. And so you've got to armor up. Like, I'm a huge believer in putting the armor of God on and going into battle every single day. Like, it is a battle in the marketplace. And you've got to have your mind right to be set up for success. You've got to have the right army around you to go into battle to make things happen. And I think people just think it's easy. And I'm like, no, dude, like, this is a freaking battle every single day. Because if I'm not out here, if I don't show up for war today, like, somebody else is taking ground and taking territory. And I want my territory, you know? And I think like a lot of people just do not think. There's so many gurus out there online that are like, it's easy and it should feel good all the time. I'm like, I don't know what world they're living in, because I've never experienced that in my 13 years as an entrepreneur, never experienced that.
me neither. You know, when I was in my undergrad, there was this one quote that was said all the time, and I caught myself saying it. And the quote was, when you love what you do, you'll never have to work a day in your life. I remember I used to say that all the time, and then I would share that with people. And then the older I got, I'm like, you know, to be honest, when you love what you do, it may feel like you don't have to work a day in your life, but you still have to work, because, like, at least in my experience, the only time it doesn't feel like I'm working is when I'm in my zone of genius. However, there are things outside of that zone of genius that I'm responsible for in order for me to be able to make that happen. And it's like, that then is very much work. At least that's how I perceived it. I've come to this place of like, man, there's it's not easy every day. You know, like, I love going to the gym. I love lifting weights. Well, every workout is not the same. There are some workouts I go into the gym and I put up numbers that are through the roof and feel easy. And then there are days where I go into the gym and I put up average numbers and it feels hard. And I'm just like, what the, you know? So I completely get you there. For listeners who may be interested in starting and growing a coaching business, you've shared how you signed your first paying client. So what would you recommend to someone who is looking to get their first paying clients?
Yeah. So first of all, there has to be rules around that, because people will go, I'm going to coach my friend. I'm like, don't coach your friends.
Why not? Why shouldn't we coach our friends?
Never coach your friends, because you can't actually coach somebody. Like, if you're actually a good coach, you're not going to be able to stay friends with that person. Like, it's just
very,
you
okay.
Never have the same relationship. So if you want to protect the friendship, you've got to not coach your friends. I never coach my friends. Ever. I don't give advice. They come to me and they want like a strategic business advice. I will give it to them, but I'm not like trying to life coach them. Like, there's a boundary there. And also, that's what I get paid to do.
When you say if they come to you for advice, you'd give them strategic advice. Is that like, you know, spare of the moment, quick 10 minutes? Or is that like they may compensate you and you give them strategic advice, although you may not coach them? Like,
I have a friend that's an author, right? And I'm an author too. And I'm telling her, here's what I'm doing. Here's what's working. Here's what's not working, when she's asking. Right. So I'll give that. I give that on my podcast, right? Like, I'm not trying to gatekeep that information, but, I'm not going to sit there and like life coach her and like all the reasons why she's not posting online, why she's not hosting a book tour, why she's not doing any of those things. And obviously there's a mindset thing around there, but I'm not going to coach her through that, because like, I'm trying to be her friend and I don't want to look like,
you know, that makes sense. So don't coach your friends.
You need to get a coach. You need to get a coach. And here is one coach that I believe in, you know, something like that. But I would say, find out exactly like what results you can really promise for people. And I know that's really hard, because as coaches, we need to be careful to not promise results for people. But if you knew that that this person came and paid you $1,000 right now, this is what they're going to get in 6 months. This is how, even if it's how they're going to feel. right? Like you're going to feel more empowered. You're going to feel, you know, ready to lead a team. You're going to feel confident walking into a room, picking up the mic to, you know, get your first like speaking on stage, whatever it is that you know, that like, you know, that you know, that you know, and you would do it for free. That person is the person you need to start having conversations with, ask your friends for referrals and start with something that's easy, like the easy yes. Absolutely. Get the easy yes. I don't care if it's a dollar. I used to teach people how to be coaches. I'd say get paid for a dollar. Like as long as there is some type of monetary exchange, right, that you're taking and going, okay, I'm going to take this. You've proven the proof of concept. Somebody will pay you. Okay.
That's the reason behind
to do this work. Okay. And then you're going to do it and you're going to go, I will never, ever coach somebody for a dollar again. That was way too much work, you know? And that's why I just raised my rates again. I'm always raising my rates because I'm like, you know, people used to pay me $12,000 a year and then people paid me $100,000 a year. And I decided like, it's too little. Like I got to get paid more. I'm not going to do it for $100,000 anymore. And I raised my rates because it just didn't excite me anymore. And so I think that get the proof of concept, start getting clients, right? And then I know there's a whole lot of mindset issues. That's why you got to hire me as a coach, right?
Absolutely.
But like, here you go. And then once you get more people to pay at that $1,000, you know, rate, then okay, I'm going to up it to 2000, like constantly up your game and see what people are willing to pay. It's like in real estate. Listen, we have open leases all the time and we're going to try, you know, getting $800 for this unit. Okay. Maybe we don't get $800 for the unit. So then we go 750 and then we got 750, but our next vacant unit, we're going to go, hey, let's see if we can get 850. Somebody's going to pay it. Right. So I think this is what most coaches need to understand is you don't need to be committed to your prices. Like you can charge whatever you want to charge when you want to charge it. And because it's your life force that they're paying for. And so you need to be excited about it. And so if yesterday you wanted to charge $750 and today you want to charge $850 for the knowledge and experience in your mind, then you can.
Absolutely. I like how you put that. So you're also the host of the Crafted Entrepreneur podcast. You mentioned that, you know, you want to be able to give the information that you have in your head away for free. You don't want to gatekeep it. And so you have a podcast show in which you're able to do that. But what inspired you to start your show instead of like only using social media for someone that might think like, I shouldn't have a podcast or a YouTube channel, whatever, right? Like, I'm just going to use social media. What inspired you to start your show?
Yeah, well, I just think that like, I'm happiest, and I don't know about you, Joe, but I and everybody listening in, I'm happiest when I'm helping somebody, period. So knowing that my show is on 24/7 a day, I mean, I have over 550 episodes. People can go and listen in, get so much goodness, listen into a ton of interviews. And that might be the thing that blows up their business to the next level. That might be the thing that saves their marriage. That might be the thing that draws them to God. Like, then I got to do it. Like that, the podcast is one thing that it's like, I shouldn't say never, but I feel like I will at this point in my life never not do it because I know like the impact that it has on people. And that's what helps me sleep at night is knowing like I'm not keeping it all inside. I'm giving it out to the world and it's going to help somebody today because every day I go to bed, sometimes I don't see the impact that I'm having on the world, you know? And so I'm like, you know, is it worth it? Is it this? Is it that? Then I'll wake up and I feel like God gives me God winks and it'll be like somebody in my DMs being like, Kayla, I did this. I bought the book you told me to, you know, buy. I just read your book. I've been getting that recently. And it's like, you know, I had this realization. Thank you so much. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep doing it. Like the impact is real and the impact is worth all of the junk and the crap I've had to go through to keep that show going to, you know, have the coaching clients and do all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. But, and you know, you mentioned the impact of your show before we got on the call. You also mentioned how the show contributes to growing your business. You were telling me that your one-on-one clients, each of your one-on-one clients found you through your show. Yeah. Is that correct? And nowadays, what does it cost to work with you one-on-one nowadays? Just for my listeners, if they didn't catch you say it earlier, what does it cost?
Well, remember, I could change anytime by the time you listen to this podcast.
It could be double tomorrow.
don't sleep on it, right? So It's a six-figure investment, but then I also have a rev share model built in now. And so depending on how much money they're making is dependent on the rev share I'm going to take, because if they're under $1 million a year, I need a higher rev share because it's more work up front for me. And if it's after $1 million, then I change it based on like a certain things. So that's kind of, I haven't changed like really the flat fee. It's still a six-figure investment, but I'm now having a rev share model in there, which gets me really excited. I think it keeps everybody engaged, and yeah.
Has your clients that have come from listening to your show, has it been like they were a listener of your show, you didn't really know anything about them, and then they just reached out to book a call with you? Or is that like they were listening to your show, then they got on your email list and somehow came through your funnel? Like, how do clients typically go from your show, I guess, to the working relationship with you?
Yeah, it's usually they all have filled out an application, but some people have listened to my show. Like, I just had a client, I had no idea they've been listening for the last 6 years. No idea. Like, oh, I've listened to every single episode of yours. No idea. Filled out an application. They own a multi-million dollar business. And we signed the contract just 2 weeks ago, but it was just so crazy. Cause I'm like, gosh, like, how did I not know this person was listening in, watching everything I was doing? She was like, yeah, it just wasn't the right time until now. I'm like, wow. Like, God is good. I always feel like it's from God, but yeah, it's always through the podcast. I mean, in my show notes, there's always a link for people to apply. And so it's that saying, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so it's all about timing for both me and for the client. And I think, you know, having your funnel in place is important, but if people want to work with you, like, they're going to find you in the DMs, like, they're going to find you somewhere to try to get a hold of you to be like, can I work with you?
Absolutely. No doubt. And thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of people, when they get into podcasting, they get very hung up on like, I'm not seeing any clients come in right now, or I'm not getting any inbound leads right now. Like, they might be generating outbound leads from reaching out to people and using their show to build rapport, but they're not necessarily seeing inbound leads. So I think to hear someone like yourself mention how you've been producing your show for 6 months, and then you have someone that has been with you from, or I'm sorry, not 6 months, 6 years, and you had someone listening to your show from day one, and now they've just become a client. I think that's really great, and it's a testament to staying the course. So I really want to say thank you for sharing that story. Recently, you released your book, What Do You Really Want? 7 Questions That Can Unlock the Answers to a Life Full of Abundance, Meaning, and Connection. Do you mind sharing a few of the questions from your book and what they mean to you?
So it is the Take 7 method. So the Take 7 method is all about just getting what you want. Remember, we start with what's not working for me. When did I first start accepting that? What version of me is showing up right now? And these are really 3 powerful questions that we've got to do the work on. Yeah. And then it kind of gets into the fun part, gratitude, perspective, you know, finding out what you really want, taking the next best step. And you learn to do the Take 7 on a regular basis. So it's not just you're going to read this book one time. It's really, you know, it's something you can do every single day, multiple times throughout the day, anytime you come up against a situation. So, after every chapter, you get a worksheet. It's a really great book, if I may say so myself.
It sounds like it's a very, really great book. We're going to definitely include the link to it in the show notes. And just to recap those 3, you said, what's not working for me? When did I first started to accept that? What was the third one you just said just now?
What version of me is showing up right now? So that's that inner child work that I talked about earlier, like really learning to nurture that inner child.
Definitely. Thank you for sharing. So I know that we've been on here for quite a bit. We're going to get ready to close down. Before we do, I want to ask you like two or three more questions. The next question I want to ask you is what are your personal development practices? Like, how do you develop yourself as a leader, Kayla?
You know, it's really like, I think staying true to my calling and staying in my zone of genius. I stay in my lane, you know, that God has designed for me. I think that's huge for becoming a leader. It's like, I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm bad at, and hire accordingly.
That's really major. And then the last question I will ask you is, if there was a principle or practice that you weren't able to share today and would like to share, what would it be?
Take seven. You know, I mean, learn how to coach yourself. There's great coaches out there. Obviously, I I always am working with a coach, but you have to be willing to do the work on yourself every single day. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to move yourself through issues and to the next level. Nobody's going to do it for you. You got to do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for joining me on the podcast today, Kelly. Can you please share with my listeners where they can connect with you?
Yeah, you can listen in at the Crafted Entrepreneur podcast, or you can find me on social media. It's CAYLA.CRAFT on all channels.
Thank you for sharing, and thank you for joining me today. And thank to my you. Listeners, I hope you take something from today's podcast episode and implement it in your daily path. Until next time, have a blessed day. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Daily Path Podcast. If you would like to launch your own podcast show to expand your reach, grow your network, and sign more premium clients for your business, visit dailypathacademy.com to learn how we can help you launch an impactful podcast that changes lives around the world and acquires high-ticket clients for your business. That's dailypathacademy.com.